What drives someone to live secretly in a van while attending one of America's most elite universities? Ken Ilgonis stood in a Home Depot parking lot at age 21, watching his hair fall out from stress, his body developing nervous tics, barely keeping up with his college coursework while earning $8.25 an hour pushing shopping carts. The irony cut deep. Just as he'd finally discovered his passion for learning, $32,000 in student debt threatened to crush everything. He'd followed the script society handed him, high school, then college, no matter the cost, signing for an $18,450 loan at Alfred University without even remembering the moment. This wasn't just his story. It's the American student debt crisis distilled into one person's breaking point. But unlike millions who surrender to decades of loan payments, Ilgonis heard a whispered voice one spring morning that would change everything. Go to Alaska. 60 miles north of the Arctic Circle, at Coldfoot, Ilgonis worked as a lodge cleaner for 8 an hour. After celebrating the summer solstice drunk under the midnight sun, he and his friend Paul tested their manhood by climbing Blue Cloud Mountain, despite having virtually no hiking experience. The terrain proved brutal. Ankle-twisting tussocks, which he colorfully described as nature's herpes, swamps, thickets, and fresh bear tracks. When Paul's blisters forced him back, Ilgonis pushed forward alone for 16 hours, muscles screaming, mosquitoes feasting on his shoulders, voice hoarse from yelling to scare away bears. The summit's vista of endless peaks humbled him completely. After a full year working 70-hour weeks, he'd earned $22,000 and saved an astonishing 82%, $18,000, toward his debt. The revelation? With free room and board, he could save more in 1 year than he could earning $49,540 in a conventional lifestyle. Eliminating the high cost of living unlocked saving potential he'd never imagined possible. Standing before Duke's Gothic buildings, Ilgonis felt the weight of his audacious plan. He'd bought a 1994 Ford Econline for $1,500, burgundy over black, with peeling tint and bald tires, and transformed it into his secret dorm. Friends thought he'd lost his mind, but the math was clear. Graduating debt-free meant eliminating housing costs entirely. The first week nearly broke him. With $800 in savings and tuition looming, he slashed his food budget to $4.34 daily. Cereal, peanut butter sandwiches, light pasta. He scraped bowls clean with bread to avoid washing dishes, leaving ancestral remnants that seasoned subsequent meals. Strange odors required strategic organization of laundry and wet towels. When temperatures dropped to 10°F, he wondered if he'd made a catastrophic mistake. Yet, intellectually, he was thriving, reading wilderness philosophers, engaging in stimulating debates, becoming the artist of life he'd always wanted to be. Every passing headlight sent his heart racing. Campus security patrols kept him in perpetual vigilance, timing entries with passing traffic, walking past his van without acknowledgement when others were near. What he'd romanticized as Thoreau-like solitude became psychological torture. By the 8th week, he caught himself talking aloud. By the 10th, having full conversations with different voices. Simple social interactions became complex deceptions. Every casual, "Where do you live?" required careful navigation of half-truths. The contrast with his peers was stark. Their $230,000 average family income represented a world entirely foreign to him. He overheard conversations about Goldman Sachs internships and watched environmental studies majors justify future oil company careers. How had Duke's liberal arts mission transformed into what seemed like a corporate pipeline? Then a mouse invaded his sanctuary, scurrying through the van nightly. When he developed a severe fever, vomiting into a small wastebasket while rain leaked onto decomposing mouse remains, he faced the fundamental question, what am I doing? An unexpected $1,600 tax refund meant Ilgonis would finish the semester debt-free. Yet spending on small luxuries triggered strange guilt. He'd chosen this path to maintain perspective on needs versus wants. During a field trip, he finally revealed his van-dwelling secret to classmates. Their reactions weren't mockery, but admiration, and he realized what he'd been missing wasn't things, but people and community. Returning to Alaska as a backcountry ranger that summer, he encountered an enormous grizzly bear just 15 yards away, completely defenseless without his shotgun, bear spray useless in strong winds. He'd always revered grizzlies, wanting to embody everything they represented: wild, strong, free. But face to face with this massive creature, he realized he'd never be as wild as it was. He was an outsider in its home, both civilized and wild, drawn equally to humanity's marvels and wilderness. He didn't need to choose between civilization and wildness. He could embrace both, living deliberately at their intersection. With $13,000 saved for his final year, Ilgunis visited Thoreau's Walden Pond. Walking from bustling Concord, he discovered Thoreau hadn't lived in isolation. He'd been surrounded by society, conducting his experiment for everyone to see. This transformed Ilgunis' understanding. He'd been living for himself, but craved meaning beyond personal achievement. Following Thoreau's example, he published his van-dwelling story on Salon.com. The article went viral during the Great Recession, resonating with Americans reconsidering their values. Frugality was becoming virtuous again, not because people admired it, but because they admired independence. After graduating debt-free with only $1,156 remaining, he gave a speech about how student debt creates nets, preventing students from becoming empathetic, introspective citizens. Though leaving Duke nearly broke with no job prospects, he emphasized the wealth of ideas he'd gained, a currency without rates, a coinage that will not rust. Ilgunis turned down a stable magazine job after graduation. Like Thoreau, whose greatest story was his life rather than his writings, he wanted to write his own story. Despite living in an age with few blank spots on the map, he saw endless frontiers: corrupt institutions to challenge, adventures to embark on, wild places, both external and internal, still waiting exploration. He gave away half his possessions, sold his beloved Ecoline, and boarded a plane to Alaska, confident he'd be okay if he lived simply, kept learning, and listened to the wild voice within. His journey reveals we've been sold a story that debt is inevitable, that comfort requires conformity, that security means surrendering dreams. But the real poverty isn't living in a van, it's living in a mansion while imprisoned by payments. Freedom isn't found in accumulating more, but in needing less. Ilgunis didn't just pay off debt, he paid attention to what debt costs beyond money: the dreams deferred, the risks not taken, the wild voices silenced. In a world measuring success by salary and square footage, he chose a different metric: the ability to say yes to possibility. Your frontier might not be Alaska. It might be the courage to question the script you've been handed, to calculate the true cost of conventional wisdom, to discover what becomes possible when you eliminate what you thought was necessary. The wilderness isn't just out there. It's in the space between who you are and who you're told to be.